So in June, the board met and we voted to approve a name change. And the next step for us to do was to take that to the church membership for their approval. And the members agreed. And at the annual meeting, the members voted by a two-thirds majority to change our name to Grand Valley Church. Is that a big change? Maybe. So the leadership believes this is the right time for this change. The old name was great, served us well for almost 30 years. But for people who don't know us, it can be confusing. People sometimes aren't sure, are we a church? Sometimes people may think, a Christian center, that means a place that only Christians are allowed to go, right? So when you think about it, Jesus never called the body of Christ a Christian center. He called it a church. Church in the Bible means a community of people who are devoted to following Jesus. And that's who we are. And we want people to know they are welcome to come and be part of Grand Valley Church. The name is changing, but a lot of things are not changing. We're not changing our identity. We're not changing our statement of faith. We're not changing our commitment to the Word of God. We're not changing our commitment to depend on the Holy Spirit. And we're not changing our commitment to spread the good news of the gospel of Christ. This is really the right time for a new look and a new name that helps people understand who we are. We developed this new name and rebranding very intentionally to match what would speak most directly to people who haven't joined us yet. Today, most new people are going to have their first experience of Grand Valley Church online when they visit our website or they visit our Facebook page or other social media. So our new name gives us a fresh look for the future while honoring our history and maintaining our identity as Christian believers serving this community. There's still a lot of work to do, but you're going to begin to see the new name popping up in places right away. And so I'd like to invite you all to help us with this effort. Make people aware of the new name and share with people what Grand Valley Church means to you. And please feel free to speak to anyone in the leadership if you have any questions about our new name or anything else that we're doing. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? Yeah? Are you sure? Come on, how are you? It's good. Well, just before we begin, I just feel like there's a lot. I'm looking at the time. I'm looking at what we got planned this morning. Just want to make sure before we dive in that we all just have a sense of God's power and presence with us, right? Oh, boy. So I've spent the last few days doing a lot of yard work here, and then it got me inspired, and so I did more yard work at my house. And so if every once in a while I grimace like I'm in pain, it's not because I'm not happy to be here. It's because the front of my body literally feels like it's on fire from contorting myself into positions no human should ever be in for more than 20 seconds. And the spring and summer is a wonderful time, but it's a time of labor, and my COVID body is just not responding well to that. So if you would, I know we've prayed a bit, but would you just allow me to just take a moment and pray into this? This is important stuff. It's a big deal. And we really need Jesus and his power and his presence at the center of it all. Let's pray together as church family. Lord God, we are so grateful for this place. We're so grateful for this time. God, as we discuss vision and values for the future, would you just build unity and love in this place, like has never been built before, and not just for us, we would enjoy that so much, God, but for the work that is yet to be done and the people yet to know you, and also for those people who maybe have some experience of you, but the fire has gone out. God, ignite us all again, refresh us again, bring us to the table, bring us to the feast, fill us, God, and send us out. God, we're here as your church, as your people, to do your work and your will. We love you. We love you, Jesus. You're a good God. You bless us. Amen. And everyone said? Amen, amen. It's great. Well, I just want to say it's very, very good to be with you this morning. I want to take a few minutes and just look ahead. And I hope that as we look ahead, that you do have a sense of excitement a sense of God's provision and a sense of possibilities that we may have together in a new season of ministry. And I do believe that the future is full of possibility, but it's also full of a tremendous amount of work. Think about the amount of work it would take and then double it, then add 30% and you're probably somewhere in the ballpark. And this is work that we really all need to come together to do as we build a new future coming out of a pandemic into a new season of ministry starting this fall, very, very soon. The fall, I don't want to like dwell on the fall because I'm still full summer mode, but it's coming and it's still 24 hours a day and it's going to get here fast and furious. And so we want to make sure that we're ready. We want to look intentionally towards a new future. So I want to share intentionally for a few minutes on what future vision and values are going to be very important and very central to who we are as we move forward together. Also want to be clear, as Rudy alluded to, that these changes are have been discussed for months and that they're not reflective of just my will, but the will of this team and this church family. And so I am not here as the new pastor coming in this October to get my way. I hope every once in a while I get my way. But I am here because the position of pastor is a position of service. And so we enact the will of a community. And it's the will of this community and the will to be effective and flourishing in the days ahead. And so we're excited. God, bring your power and presence upon it. May it happen. Amen. So the leadership team and I have set a target, an ambitious target, to build spaces, tools, and ministries that rebuild Grand Valley Church into a healthy, multi-generational church that serves over 300 people every Sunday, live and online. This means all our systems, so we're not building systems to go from 1 to 2 to 3. We're building systems to go to 3+. So it's going to initially feel like a jump that's one jump too far, but it's because we don't want to waste resources on that journey. We're just going to spend and plan for where we want to end up. And so what that looks like is services over 200 in the 225 to 230 region would be very comfortable in this space and in kids ministry spaces as well every Sunday and for special events. And then over 100 people as we continue to work on live streaming as well online. So this means that we are going to need everything that we need to get us set up and going in that direction as we look towards the fall and a brand new ministry year. We want to really focus on a couple key areas that we think are going to have significant impact. One is a general rebrand. You've heard some initial steps that we're taking there. It includes the name change, logos, websites, a lot more social media capacity, tweaks to the church's streaming platforms, audio, and other technical improvements, an update to signs and merchandise, just to give us a fresh coat of paint coming out of the pandemic. Secondly, we are looking at a facility refresh and repairs that help us create better multi-use spaces so that we can serve a lot more people and a lot more younger people, multi-generational ministries, kids and youth. And these refresh spaces are not just so that we can have nice refresh spaces. They will partner with new ministry resources and tools so that we can really develop effective strategies around teaching and sharing Jesus with everyone at every age and stage. So why would we start there? Why would we start there? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Thank you for being curious this morning. In today's world, and especially through the pandemic, most people now are checking out church online and on social media long before they come in person. If you know anything about my story, you know that I pastored a church of approximately 400 to 500 people 7 years called the Meeting House in Brantford, very tech-forward community. It was very common that people watched that church online for 1 year before they came in person. And every Sunday, our average attendance from online guests transitioning to visiting the first time was 15 to 20% a week, every Sunday. It was pretty amazing. So since COVID, watching church online has continued to just grow immensely, over 65%. And most church experts, even though not a lot of us have been here before, seem to think that this is going to continue long into the future. And as well that we know that coming generations are more and more technical as well. So this means that our new lobby is no longer our building. Our new lobby is our digital space, our online space. And we need to clearly communicate who we are and what we're about long before people actually arrive in the physical space. Good digital tools and graphics and streaming technology are going to help us to continue to bring church to those who are curious about who we are. It's also going to help people who may have difficulty physically attending or have health concerns coming out of COVID for the foreseeable future as well. And so this area of social media and streaming, it's a bit newer to our church family, it's a bit newer to me, but it's not an area that we can avoid or afford to avoid in the future. So it's an area that we're needing to commit to building continual resources and expertise to do very well. And it's a huge asset to any church looking to build a new audience under the age of 40, which is something that we really want to do. And I have to say, I'm over that age, which is happy and sad, all simultaneously. So it's true. It's true to do this. We're looking at a generation that's not here. And we want to create space. We want to free up the seat beside us. And we want to say, come on this journey, right? And it's a really important asset if we're going to go there. The other areas that the church has really pulled back on have been talked about a little bit. It's really centering around the facility and multi-generational ministries. We need to pour some practical love and investment into this place so that it can stand up to a lot more use, especially from younger people. You guys know that younger people are hard on stuff. We need to make sure that this facility is a place that welcomes every age and stage. We want to invest in the tools that we need to care for and retain families. And then we need the resources and spaces to teach Jesus effectively. I say effectively because you can do it ineffectively. We want to teach Jesus very, very well with a lot of excellence. So the church is for everyone. And as I alluded to, parents in the house, parents, right? It's costly. It's costly to do as parents, as a father. I give my life and every dollar I have to my children. It's just like in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. I give everything I have. And I really want to challenge you all, and I'm challenging myself too. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm a part of this family. I'm a part of this community. But I really do feel it's our role as mature believers to make really powerful decisions and make the investments towards others who cannot do it on their own. My kids, other generations, they cannot make those investments. We have to make it for them. We have to start that journey with our own time, our own energy, our own finances, all those things it takes to get the ball rolling. We also want this space to be wildly adaptable so that we can maximize its potential. We don't just want it to work on Sundays. We want it to work midweek as well. So that means hosting a board meeting one day, kids ministries the next, possibly a few things simultaneously. And we want to do it in comfort and safety. And when I say comfort and safety, it's not for us. It's for those people coming, right? We want to care for them well. So taking care of these things now are going to give us the practical tools that we need to do effective ministry. But it's also going to do something else. It's going to give us a wonderful place to live out the values and vision that we think are going to be central in the next season of Grand Valley Church. So I want to take a few minutes and just dive into some of this with you right now. This is a quick pass. We'll get into a lot of it later. But in the future, we are going to continue to hold a deep passion for discipleship, something that's been alive and well in the past here at Grand Valley Church. Our discipleship as the church should be the journey of a lifetime that transforms every area of our lives. Anyone here know the verse Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission? You heard of it before? Right? Here's what it says. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age." There is a lot to say about discipleship, and I'm very, very excited about this. It's central to who I feel that I've been called to be. And so later this year, we're going to dive into a very in-depth series on what our new discipleship framework will look like. But for now, I want to say this. It is our primary responsibility as the church to help others prioritize and practice the way of Jesus in their life. We want to help people prioritize and practice the way of Jesus in their life. Anyone? No? Yes. And we have to be having a real encounter with that. Those practices and priorities need to be alive and well and flowing out of us before we can offer that to anyone else. We need effective, practical tools and strategies that help us continue our growth. You know, it's not over. I know there's a new season, but for those of you who've been here for a long time, it's not over. It's not over. There's still a lot to do. We're going places. It's going to be great. Your journey is not over. Your journey's only over when you're finished taking breath. There's always work to be done in his kingdom, and we're all invited into it. Our faith is not just a belief system. It's a way of living in the world given to us and modeled by Jesus. We don't just quote fancy things and believe nice ideas. We enact them. We embody them. And we follow Christ's example. So we need to work very hard to develop resources in a few key areas. Here they are. The first area that we really need to focus on is being with Jesus. As a church, we want to develop tools that help us develop personal and corporate intimacy, help us enjoy God's presence together and on our own. The second area is becoming like Jesus. This is perhaps the most difficult area churches struggle with, and it requires a lot of nuance and depth of thinking. This is where all the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit would live, because it has to do with our personal character transformation. We have to develop rhythms and strategies to allow God to transform our character so that it can better reflect his character. And this is not easy to do. It's actually incredibly costly. The third area is behaving like Jesus. Now, behavior can sometimes be a bit of a hard word in today's culture, but it does come down to behavior. If we're having an authentic, transformative encounter with Christ, it should change our actions, right? It should change how we live in the world. Behavior is simply doing what Jesus asked and did in the world around us. And it's important to remember that our actions are not mandatory. This is not a morality speech. It's not about just doing the right things because it says so on a page. The actions that we take are birthed out of a living, transformative encounter with a living, powerful, beautiful, loving God. Right? That's what it is. And so these things are not mandatory. They are based in grace and his good work in us. When we fail, when we make mistakes, it still continues. But we are called to live out of authentic transformation in our behavior. I want to give you an example of what this might look like. Imagine this will happen. We do a series on forgiveness. What would that look like? Well, in being with Jesus, in the sermon notes, there would be a lot of extra reading, books, scripture, and insight for your own personal study with you and your discipleship group so that we can prepare you to encounter and wrestle with these ideas on your own and corporately throughout the week or throughout the month. When it comes to becoming like Jesus, what that would look like is once over that series, we would encourage you, if the theme was forgiveness, hey, anyone have unforgiveness in their life? Anyone have a broken relationship? What would it mean once over this 4 or 5 weeks to write a letter forgiving someone from your past? As you took the courageous, obedient step of writing that letter, licking an old school stamp, putting it in the mail, humility moves in, pride moves out, and healing, right, begins to take root. And you become transformed. Your character is modified to become more in line with Christ and his kingdom. Then on behavior, now this is where we act it out together. We all get together once over the course of that series and we say, what would it look like to practically move towards the unloved, the forgotten, and the unforgiven in our society? Maybe we all go serve or make a meal, or we talk to a prison somewhere and we go do some ministry that way. And we just honor the unforgiven and forgotten in our society. And so with these ideas, the hope and prayer is that we create balanced, long-term ways of practically step-by-step deepening and replicating our discipleship, right? And following Jesus individually and corporately as church family together. It's going to be powerful, and it's going to take a lot of work. And it's going to ask us to constantly lean into Jesus and constantly rely on him and constantly take the next step in our faith, which I believe is his will. We also want to live in community as church family, and we want to be effective in serving the community that we live in. Again, we can cover this more in depth later, but I just want to say that it's very clear that as you read the New Testament and as the church establishes itself, you see them developing rhythms, very effective rhythms, in how they care for each other as believers and in how they use their resources to reach out around them. And you see people as they do this, as they're good at caring for each other and having an impact in the cities where they live, a lot of people come to church. A lot of people find hope and faith in Jesus Christ. And we want to do that as well. So we feel very called to the value of community as we honor and serve those in this building that call themselves church family, and as we look at what it means to serve the people outside of this place very well, with a lot of love and a lot of humility. And as I just wrap up this morning, I want to say it's such a privilege for me to get to do this with you. It's not an entitlement. It's a beautiful privilege, and it's a journey. It's not something that we just simply one day arrive and it's finished and it's complete. It's a journey that we're going to go on together. And it's a journey that I really want to ask if, this is bold, but I'm asking for unity and love. As we work on these transitions, as Ralph and I transition, as this whole thing comes together, as we look at the fall, unity and love. Care for each other well. Ask questions. Talk to leadership. But in love and in unity together. So I want to invite Pastor Ralph up as he continues to unpack a few more values this morning and a few more strategies that we're going to start as we build a new future together.
Amen. Amen. As we build a new future together, that's what God is doing. Amen. And I was thinking, you know, transition happens. Transition happens because God is taking us somewhere. He's taking us into places where we can do things that we're unable to do in the place that we're at. Amen? He's taking us into a place where we can build for a future. Amen? He's not just trying to mess us up. He's taking us to a place where we can do things that we weren't able to do in the place that we were at. I don't know about you, but that excites me, and that we get to do it together. And I'm excited to work with Pastor Andrew and continue to work with the board. And it's just awesome. And I am thrilled for the community that God has shaped us into. You know, and I look forward with excitement as the Holy Spirit continues to shape us and grow us to be that multi-generational community of believers, sharing Jesus with each other, but sharing Jesus with those outside as well. Amen? You know, something that makes community work really well, and here's part of the ask, is when we all come together, as we all stand together, and as we all work together. We're in this together, amen? Somebody say together. Oh, that was only five of you. It works when we come together, stand together, and work together. You know, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. Two standing together back to back can conquer. But three are even better. Why? Because a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We value collaboration. Teamwork, amen? Cooperating together, serving together, working together, building together, and moving forward together. Collaboration, you know, it recognizes that people are important. How many more? You are important. People are important. And collaboration recognizes that people are important and combines the various gifts and talents and resources that God has given each one of us. And it combines them together, enabling us to move God's purposes forward together. And you know what? No one gets burned out because we're carrying the load together. The vision goes forward because we're moving it together in the power of the Holy Spirit together. Amen? So we value that idea of collaboration, teamwork. And the Apostle Paul, he phrased it like this for the Ephesian church, Ephesians 4, verse 16. And it goes, from him, and that's from Jesus, the whole body joined together and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen? So there's so much to say about this value of collaboration, and we'll do that in the future. But let me just add this. Collaboration includes working in partnership with other organizations like Elam Fellowship Canada and, of course, the Brantford Blessing Center. And so the next value I want to share with you is stewardship. So everybody say stewardship. Oh, come on. That's an exciting word. Come on, say it with me. Stewardship. I think masks do something to, you know. But, you know, here's a great verse from Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. And this is from The Message, and I love it. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. You know, we need each other. Jesus has blessed each one of us with incredible resources. And we want to steward those resources in such a way as to be a blessing, to demonstrate the goodness of the kingdom of God. Amen? We want to take what we have. We want to take what God has given us. We want to take all the resources and the money that God has given us and steward in such a way that we become a blessing. And we become a blessing to others. And in that, we practically demonstrate the goodness of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, and in Luke 19, verses 11 to 25, Jesus shares a story about some servants who were given money on behalf of their master, and they were told to put it to work. They were told to do something with it. There was an expectation that they would be responsible with what they had been given, and that they also would be looking out for the master's interests. And you should take some time this week and read through those accounts. But what we see, what we learn in the story that Jesus tells in terms of the kingdom, we understand that stewardship is the responsibility to administer and manage all things that Christ has delegated into our hands. Let me say that again. Stewardship is the responsibility to administer and manage all things that Christ has put into our hands. Amen? I just think that's an excellent definition of stewardship. And you know what? God has given this church, Grand Valley Church, into our hands to steward. Amen? He didn't give it to somebody else. He gave it into our hands to steward. And I know you take that responsibility seriously. And I personally consider it a huge privilege when I think of what God has put into our hands. And I want to be part of building the future of this church. I want to be responsible with what God has given me to apply it in such a way as to build the future of this church. I want to steward the things that God has given me, that God has given us, in a responsible way for his purposes. Amen. And it's such a privilege when I think of what God has put into our hands in terms of Grand Valley Christian Church. And I still want to be used by the Holy Spirit to see the harvest come in. Amen. How many want to see the harvest come in? How many want to see this church become the multi-generational church? It's up to us to make that happen, amen? It's up to us to steward what God has put into our hands to prepare that for which is to come in the future, amen? The truth is, COVID has had a very real impact on us. And we've had to radically simplify everything and cut to the bare minimum to ease the strain on our finances. And as Pastor Randall has already shared, we need to bring things back, but not just the way they were. We need to build for the future and for the years ahead. Amen? Currently, we're working on to bring forward a post-COVID. There's a post-COVID balance budget for 2022. But the second thing we've done is we have created a CRM CRF. Do you want to know what a CRF is? Yeah, you do, don't you? A CRF, that's what we're calling the COVID Relief Fund. And our goal is to raise $75,000 to catch up and prepare the facility and the ministries that have been dormant and to build the future we've been envisioning. So we want to ask you to do three things. Number one, I want to ask you to pray. I want to ask you to pray. I want to ask you to pray that God give the leadership wisdom as we move forward into a post-pandemic world. I want you to pray for each other. I want you to pray for strength and for wisdom, for encouragement. And together we will build for our people yet to come. I want you to pray for those who God is speaking to their hearts even now to join this community. You know, we're an older community, very honestly, and pray for a generation to come. Pray that we would put those things in place that would attract a younger generation who desperately needs to know the reality of who Jesus is. Pray that God would shape us into that multi-generational church. You know, pray. I could go on and on and on, but what I'm asking you that we as a people would begin to pray, because nothing happens without prayer. Amen? Nothing moves forward without prayer, so I'm asking you to pray. The second thing I'm asking is that you would participate. That's that whole collaboration piece. I'm asking you to participate. We saw a while ago message when God initiates transition. And I love this because transition is an invitation to renewed cooperation. Amen? We are in this together. God has called us together. And it's going to take everyone on board working together. And the illustration I like to use is in Nehemiah's time. The wall was in ruin. And there was a vision to rebuild. And everyone in Nehemiah's time, every family took their place along the wall to build. And you know what happened? The vision went forward and the wall was completed. It's going to take all of us working together to build and to create a prepared place. So we need you to pray. We need you to participate. And lastly, we need you to give. We need you to give. We need radical financial generosity. You know, and we're asking you to give. And this is over and above your regular giving. And you know what? I know from experience that you are a generous people. For example, we were able to buy a $35,000 van debt-free. Amen? And I know we can do this. I know we can do this, church. God wouldn't have put it on our hearts to do it if he didn't think we could do it. We can do this because you are a generous people. And so I'm asking you to give. I'm asking you for radical financial generosity. And you can drop your offering. See that neat little box we've got on the wall there? That's our offering box. And what you can do as you leave, you can put your offering in there. And you can also add a gift for this COVID relief fund to go along with that. But I would ask you to designate which portion of your giving is that you would be clear to designate it to the CRF fund. Or you can go online and through e-transfer and you can give that way. But again, designate what is your regular giving and then what is what you're giving to the CRF fund. We need an injection of money as soon as possible so we can bring the ministries back for the fall. And the CRF fund will be available to give over the next months, and we'll keep you posted as how that fund is doing. But again, I'm asking you for radical financial generosity. And we can do this together. Amen? We can build. So I'm asking you, pray, participate, and give. And let's see what God will do. Amen? So we have an amazing future to look forward to. And I like what Paul said. He, Jesus, he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Amen? So I'm going to invite Pastor Andrew to come back, and we're just going to take some time and pray together. Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And I thank you for this community of people. I thank you that you're putting on our hearts to build. Father, not just for ourselves, but for that which is yet to come. Father, so that we can be effective in sharing Jesus with people. Father, you've been faithful to lead us to this point. You've been faithful to protect us. You've been faithful to give us future and a hope. And we thank you for your presence among us, for your power that is continually at work in us, and that you will cause your plans to flourish and thrive. And thank you that you've called us to use us. Thank you, Father, that you've called us to partner with you to see your kingdom advance. Father, I thank you for this people, for this congregation who have faithfully served you. And I declare blessing over each one. I thank you, Father, how they've given. I thank you how they've served, how they've cared. Father, for the community that you have built. Father, I declare blessing on each one, Father. And I thank you. And I pray that you continue to move us forward, that each one of us would, as we move forward, would find our place along the wall and the vision would go forward, and that we would continue to be a people of generosity. Father, more than anything, I pray that you would shape us into the community, the kind of community where people can encounter Jesus. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Transform us to be more like Jesus.
Yeah, Lord God, what a privilege it is to sit here today, to be together in this place where you have done great things. What a beautiful place, what a beautiful church you have made. God, and I pray right now that there would be such a powerful vision unfold in the days ahead, because you're not done. Because greater is to come, and not our greater, not greater that is for us, but it's for you. It's for your kingdom. And so, Lord God, we look to a bright future. God, we dream and we pray and we rely on your Holy Spirit. And we say, come, come again. In this uncertain time where not very much is clear, God, speak to your people, renew us, and provide. And God, I pray a blessing and a continuation over the ministry of this place and this people long into the future. May our kids and our kids' kids be impacted by the work that you raise up in this time and place in the name of Jesus. God, we don't give for us. We don't give so that we can enjoy great things. We give to you. God, bring your Spirit to bear. Our city needs you. 100,000 people don't know your name. God, you've called us to be effective and good, and to bring the power of the real, living, beautiful Christ into the minds and hearts of people, empowered and equipped by your Spirit. I just feel that dreaming is hard for some people here. Life is hard, right? Life is hard. It adds up. It stings. I pray new dreams. Get the courage together to dream again. One more dream. One more big dream. Not your dream, his dream. It's bigger than you can imagine. Like whatever you can conjure in your mind, whatever you can get the energy for, God's dream's at least 10 times bigger than that. God, give us the courageous energy and momentum to dream again, to courageously, even though we've been hurt, even though we've been affected by things going on around us, God, you are still in control. You're still good. You're still powerful. Allow us to dream again. We give you our lives. We give you this place. We're here to serve you, Jesus. And everyone said together, amen. 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 Well, we went over time. That's what happens when you hire two preachers on a Sunday, not one. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you guys. We have decided there's that beautiful area, treed area, just right up over the hill. If you want to drive over there, we're going to make sure the chain is down. You can drive over, you can walk up. There's a path right through these trees right back here. I also brought my electric skateboard along, my all-terrain electric skateboard, for anyone who wants a ride or to give it a go. I know you're all up for it. I can see the faces. Oh, me first, me first. Yes, personal insurance needed. So anyway, if you are here and you can just grab a chair, you've brought some food, we'd love to hang out with you. Michelle and Callie and Denon are here, and we're just excited to just spend a bit of time with you this afternoon. And I just hope that you have an amazing week. Hey, continue to pray. Continue to do those things that Ralph asked. Pray, participate, give. And we look forward to just talking a little more about the amazing things that we're looking forward to as Thanksgiving approaches. Have a great day.